What I want to do is just very briefly, the film has in some ways stolen my thunder, but I want to mention some of the issues as I see them, as from my experience of working in Iraq recently, what I see some of the issues are and what I think the most important issues are as far as the media coverage of the war is concerned. The head of BBC News, Richard Sembrook, has said that the war coverage will never be the same after what's happened over the last couple of months, and I think he's absolutely right. Richard Sembrook also said understanding the implications of what's happened, and particularly understanding the implications of the embedding system, will take a lot longer. So all I want to do is just take a very quick overview of some of the benefits, some of the negative sides of the embedding system, and just rather than draw any major conclusions, is just to give you an idea of how I see the system worked in the recent war. I'm going to start by just explaining, although that film did it pretty well, exactly what embedding is and how it worked from the journalist's point of view. The official thinking behind it from the Pentagon was that they needed to counter what they saw as then the enemy propaganda, which was propagated particularly in the war in Afghanistan. With reporters working on the ground in Afghanistan, they were able to file very dramatic reports about friendly fire incidents, about hospitals, children being hit, and so on. But the American military had a very limited presence on the ground in Afghanistan, so most of their defense of what had happened came from people standing in podiums in Washington, and it didn't have the immediacy of those first-hand reports. So the thinking was that the idea of embedding journalists with combat units was formalized after Afghanistan, when it was felt that the coalition forces were rather outpaced by what they saw as the propaganda put forward by the Taliban. And so in the run-up to the war in Iraq, meetings were held between the Ministry of Defense and the Pentagon and the broadcasters. And as you heard there, somewhere in the region of 700 journalists were selected to be embedded alongside combat units. The journalists who were working alongside those combat units were given a 12-page booklet from the Ministry of Defense or the Pentagon, which gave them a very clear set of rules about what they could and couldn't do. Those rules included, as you heard, reporting about ongoing missions wasn't allowed, reporting on specific troop numbers, specific numbers of tanks that were assigned to particular regiments, that wasn't allowed. And journalists were banned from using their own vehicles. They had to travel with the combat units. They weren't allowed to travel with their own vehicles. Now, it's clear that this is a huge shift away from conflicts in the past like Vietnam or Korea, where most of you have probably seen the pictures of journalists jumping in and out of helicopters and being pretty much free to travel wherever they want in the theatre of operations. It's a far more structured, it's a far more stringent, and some would say, with some degree of justification, that it's a much more restrictive arrangement. And certainly as far as journalists are concerned and the way we look at the way that this war was covered, I think the most significant fact is that it shifts the balance of power away from the journalist and very much shifts the balance of power towards the military. Some journalists expressed concerns before the war, when this idea of embedding was first mooted, that journalists who agree to go to war with combat units effectively become hostages to them. If you're reliant on the military for your means of communication, for your food, for your means of travel, then in some ways you could be seen as a hostage. You heard in those reports Romilly Weeks saying that they said to the commanders, you can't stop us from filing these reports. Well, the whole point of the embedding system is, yes, they can. And if you argue about it, then you're going to be thrown off the assignment. So again, it's a question of that balance of power. Who had the balance of power in the embedding system? The main benefit, as far as the embedding system is concerned, as you saw from some of the pictures there, and as you saw the journalists admit, that it gives them a closer access to what coalition forces are doing than they've ever had before. And certainly from the colleagues of mine who have come back from Iraq who were embedded, they've said sometimes that access was a bit too close. It was definitely a rather hairy situation for a number of my colleagues, but the result was that they were able to send back very compelling TV footage. And given that although print and radio and the internet played its part in this war, it was very much a television war. And the pictures that came back, I think, were more dramatic than probably we've seen before, certainly from the way that the coalition forces were portrayed. put it simply, it's great television. Embedding reporters with military makes great television. Also, I think there's a safety issue involved. As you saw there, working alongside a combat unit does give you, I think, a degree of safety. Terry Lloyd in southern Iraq, who you saw in that report, decided to go it alone and paid the price. The downside, of course, is that journalists run the danger of becoming hostages to the military. They're limited in what they can say. They're given those rules by which they can operate, and if they don't like it, they can get out. It's as simple as that. Friends of mine have told me of situations where they had military officers standing over them as they did a live broadcast or they filed a report. One friend of mine who was working on HMS Ark Royal, when he was filing his reports, he literally had an officer standing over him with his finger on the microphone button, waiting to switch that microphone off if he said something that he disagreed with. That balance of power is clearly shifted towards the military, and I think putting that degree of editorial control, handing over that degree of editorial control to the military is a dangerous road to go down.